Paul mentioned to Timothy the unfeigned faith, the not hypocritical faith that dwelt in him, which first dwelt in his grandmother and in his mother. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew in chapter 1. Matthew in chapter 1. This morning, as we continue our thoughts in this first chapter, in verses 1 through 17 in particular, the pedigree of the king, we want to consider this morning the royal son. The royal son. Let's read verses 1 and 2, where our thoughts will be coming from, particularly from verse 2. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, which is the seed of David, which is the seed of Abraham. A good paraphrase. Abraham begat Isaac. And notice the particularness of this seed. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas and his brother. Did you notice the particularness? Is Isaac all that Abraham begat? He's the only son of promise. But Abraham had seven other sons. Ishmael by Hagar and six other sons by Keturah after Sarah had passed away. Was Jacob the only son of Isaac? No. He's the only son of promise. And was Judas the only son of Jacob? No, it says, and his brethren. But the particularness is to Judah. Concerning the points under the royal son, the first is the covenant was made with Abraham. And so the writer Matthew, starts with Abraham. Promise was made to Abraham. And the promise was made that in his seed should all the nations of the earth be built. In his seed. Singular. Not seeds, for he had many seeds, as we've already pointed out. But as in the one seed. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis. In chapter 12. And I believe this is the verse of the week that we put in the bulletin. And those verses are there just to, as you look over your bulletin through the week just to trigger your thoughts concerning the messages that were preached, in case you didn't know what those verses had implication to. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. There he's promising to, he's covenanting with Abraham that in him all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Well, praise God. And God, you and I. You see? And I know that I'm sure that Abraham believed that. He saw the great implications of that promise to him. Maybe not the great extent, but he knew that all the families, even after he was dead and gone, families of all over the earth were going to be blessed through him. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 18, and here God has come to visit Abraham, and before leaving, he says that it is proper to show unto Abraham that which he's purposing to do, which was the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he says in verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. See, God repeats it again. That in him. Now notice what he says to Abraham in chapter 22. In chapter 22. And here begins to nail it down particular for us and show us that it is of seed, not seeds. Yes. In verse 18 of chapter 22, it said, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And in thy seed, singular, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so, Paul points that out to the Galatians in the book of Galatians in chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. He said, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Showing forth that seed, being singular, is pointing to Jesus Christ. A particular seed. And so, what we have listed for us in Matthew chapter 1 is that particular seed that is being shown forth to whom? Well, remember we said that Matthew wrote primarily to the Jews, to the Israelites. He was trying to show forth the heritage of Jesus Christ, that he had the rightful heritage as the Messiah. Now, note the line ran not through Ishmael, and Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. The line did not run through Ishmael, who was technically the firstborn.
But it was the firstborn of the flesh. Right? He was the offspring of the flesh.
Abraham and Sarah got together. They said, we got to help God out. Well, that's fleshly thinking. And boy, we have a lot of that today, don't we? God's done all He can do. Now it's up to you. Right? That's fleshly thinking. Well, that's what Abraham and Sarah said. They got together and said, well, God's done all He can do. Now it's up to us. We got to help Him out. Well, you take Hagar, to my bondwoman, to be your wife, and you raise up seed and see if can't get a son by her. Well, lo and behold, she conceived and she bore a son.
Did God curse this man? No, we're going to get to that. He blessed Ishmael. I mean, he said he'd be a wild man. Aren't the Ishmaelites wild men? But he blessed him. Isaac was the one born after the promise. Not Ishmael. Turn with me back to Genesis again. In the 17th chapter. Genesis chapter 17. And look at begin with verse 16. I got to read verse 16. And I will bless her, that's Sarah, and give her son also of her. That was just going to be born of Sarah. That's where my promise is. That's where my covenant is with. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And was not that true? Yeah, came through the tribe of Judah. But predominantly through the tribe of Judah. I mean, with the exception of the first king, which was through the tribe of Benjamin. But predominantly through Judah was the kings. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Now, you go back to the beginning of the chapter, he was 99. So Abraham knew that conception takes a while. He's going to be 100 years old. Shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old? Well, yeah, Abraham, you're going to have more than just that. You're going to have at least six sons after that. And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Did you ever hear that? I never heard of a 90-year-old woman giving birth to a child. Only one is right here. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after Isaac, the seed of Sarah. is the one I'm going to establish my covenant with. And as for Ishmael, I'm worthy. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Oh, did make him a great nation, huh? 12 princes. Look at them. Today. A large percentage of the world population. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. To be with Isaac. Turn with me and look what the scriptures tell us in the letter to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. They just affirm what I already stated. In verse 22 of chapter 4 of Galatians, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one Bamin, and notice they only mention the two sons. Well, we talk about Abraham and his son, you only ever hear of Ishmael and Isaac, as far as I can recollect. I don't recall reading anything about the other six, other than in Genesis chapter 25, where the six are mentioned and then their seed. They're mentioned, and of course we know that one of those sons was Midian and became the nation of the Midianites, which, during the period of the Judges, the Midianites ruled over the Israelites in their disobedience. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, Hagar, who was Sarah's handmaid, a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Sarah was a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman, Hagar, was born after the flesh. Just what we said. Is born after the flesh. Abraham and Sarah in the flesh. So we got to help God out. But he of the free woman was by promise. Was by the Holy Spirit of God. He was the child promised. Now, of course, the writer Paul to the Galatians had something to say about that in Romans chapter 4. That Abraham, when he was old, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But even he being old and the deadness of Sarah's womb is mentioned. You see, that the power of God might be exalted, and know most assuredly that Isaac was of God. So the line ran not through Ishmael, the offspring of the flesh, but ran in Isaac. He was the one of promise. He was the one that the covenant was with. Then notice that it was by the divine purpose of God, it flowed by election, not in Esau, but in Jacob. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob.
Well, he begat Esau too, but Esau wasn't son of promise. The covenant wasn't with Esau. You see, not in the firstborn Esau. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come. He's repeating what was said in Genesis chapter 18 when God visited Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and revealed to Abraham that at this time I will come. This time next year I will come. And Sarah shall have a son. Verse 10. And not only this, not only shall Sarah have a son, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, not only was Sarah, they have Isaac, and Isaac was the son of promise, and the covenant was with Isaac, but not only that, he says, my covenant is not going to be with Esau, my covenant is going to be with Jacob. Let's see if that's not what he's saying here. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by woman, even by our father Isaac, for the children be not yet born, not yet conceived. Neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. When was this said? When was this done? Yes, it was said to her in time, but when was this done? According to election. And election was when, Brother Ron? In eternity, Brother Ron. What does that mean? It always was. The purpose of God. The elder shall serve the younger. The younger is going to rule over him. As it is written, Jacob have I loved. But Esau have I hated. Why would you love Jacob? You see, people get all upset. Well, that's not fair. Why can't you love Esau too? You're supposed to love Esau too. Well, the wonder is that God would love any of us. We were all just as Jacob. We were all supplanters. We were all deceivers. All sinners. It's a wonder that God would love anyone. But he did love some. Praise God. I'm glad I fell right in there with Jacob. So by divine purpose, it flowed by election in Jacob. And Matthew keeps right in line with that. Let's just know. And it's being particular. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas. Or Judah. On this one, observe and admire the sovereignty of God. You have to
admire and exalt God and His sovereignty in all of it. But consider this as we consider it. And as we consider Judah. Our Lord sprang out of Judah. Well, you say, yeah, that was the royal tribe. Well, that's not my point here. You're rushing me. Our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe nothing is said concerning priesthood. Oh, I see the wheels turning. Got some of you thinking. Yeah, the priesthood came through Levi.
Right.
Amen. Yeah, well, turn with me back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. And verse 14. And if you know Hebrews, you know that here we're having a comparison of Melchizedek and Jesus Christ and their priesthoods. Verse 14 says, "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood." Well, why is that? Now, then it might be clear that his priesthood is not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. As Melchizedek. Consider Melchizedek. What do you know about Melchizedek from Scripture? Where'd it come from? Where did it begin? When did it end? No beginning, no ending. You see, of an endless life. Life that is eternal. Look at verses 15 and 16 of the same chapter. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, Christ, arose after the similitude, but greater than Melchizedek. After the similitude of another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Jesus Christ, the greater Melchizedek. Melchizedek. About the only thing we know of him, he came to Abraham, came on the scene. Abraham reverenced him as the high priest of the Most High God and paid tithes to him. And he left. That's about all we know of Melchizedek. He was a type. And that was because all Scripture reveals to us of him is because he was to be a type of Jesus Christ. You see, the eternal one. And our great high priest. So, he came of the tribe of Judah, which nothing is said concerning the priesthood, but of the tribe of Judah, there's something said about royalty, something said about the kingly tribe, the tribe from which rulers would come. He comes of Judah's royal tribe. Why? Because he's the king. He's the king. Turn with me back in the book of Genesis again.
In Genesis chapter 49, and God revealed this to Jacob long before Israel ever had a king. God revealed this to Jacob, that this was going to be so for his son Judah. As we look in the 49th chapter and verse 8, and Jacob, or Israel, getting ready to pass away, die, and he calls his sons round about him to bless him. And in verse 8 he said, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Your father's children, they're going to bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. Is your mind working? What about Revelation chapter 5?
No, Revelation chapter 5, it's after the rapture. We're all there, all the saints are there in heaven. And they're looking for one who's worthy to open the book. To take the keys and open the book. And there's only one found worthy. Amen. And who's that one that's found worthy?
The Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Wow, prophecy! Judah is alive well from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter. The scepter is always a symbol of royal authority. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh will come. Until what? Until Jesus Christ comes.
He'll be the last one. When he comes the second time. You see, the Jews thought it was going to be his first coming. But no, it's his second coming. When he comes that second time. He's the last one. He's going to establish his throne. And it is a throne forever. Yes, it only seems like it's only for 1,000 years then. But from the 1,000 years, we go into the eternal ages. It's forever. He's the last.
You see. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 16. Well, let's begin with verse 12. And David wanted to build a house to the Lord, you know, and he wasn't going to be able to do it. But here's what the Lord told him. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Turn with me quickly to the book of Isaiah, in chapter 9. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born. Prophecy. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Is it any wonder the Jew didn't think it was going to be right then, during that lifetime? Because the government shall be upon his shoulder. But he didn't come the first time with the government upon his shoulder. He was born, yes. But his task was not to take the government upon his shoulders then. My time is not yet. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, and from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You see, he's the one, he's going to sit upon the throne of David. And to be the rightful heir, he had to come, the son of David. He had to come from the tribe of Judah. He had to come from the seed of Abraham. You see, chapter 11, in verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That rod out of the stem of Jesse is Jesus Christ. Verses 10 through 13. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. And his rest shall be glorious. And to it shall the Gentiles seek. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Sinai and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversary of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. And that's the future. But we're reading about his rightful claim to the throne in the book of Matthew, in chapter 1. In Jeremiah, we'll close with this one. Jeremiah, in chapter 23.
Look with me at verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Yes, Jesus Christ come from the royal tribe, the tribe of Judah, because he's king. You see, shall we stand? Have a song in closing, Brother Mike.
Number 465. 465.